Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odell, and I have my two co-hosts with me tonight, Pastor Billy Painter and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson, and we welcome you. We're in our studio in the deep woods of East Alabama, so we're here tonight to get into the Word with you. We appreciate you being with us. If you were on Facebook or you got it by email or text, you know that we're getting into the subject of the Gaza war that Israel is involved in right now, trying to clear Hamas and their terrorist tunnels and their rocket launching sites and all the other things going on. They're trying to find the command center of the terrorist tunnels. And, of course, this in the midst of all the crazy anti-Israel demonstrations going on across the world. Of course, God had me preach a powerful sermon that I know just the Holy Spirit came upon me and gave me Sunday morning about. It was just simple question: Israel or Islam? And I think we covered it pretty well. I can't even fathom how anyone in the world could pick Islam, especially the radical elements of Islam, which is almost all of them. But the radical elements of Islam like Hamas or in Gaza or al-Nusra, I believe it is, in Syria. And then we have al-Qaeda, and then you have ISIS in Iraq, in Syria. We're going to talk about that tonight. But we're going to talk about this Gaza war being in prophecy, and that Gaza is, and the coast, what the Bible calls the coast of the Philistines, Philistia, that the coast of this region was spoken about in end-time Bible prophecy, I believe in the book of Joel and also in the book of Amos, as being part of the end-time prophecy and the end-time problem that Israel would have, but that would be leading us toward Armageddon. We're also going to look at the prophecy in Psalm 83, the Psalm 83 war that is going to result from this, and I'm going to show you that Muslims across the world are beginning to call for this confederation, this uniting together to attack Israel. We are headed into definite prophetic days as we watch the news, as we read our Bibles. We're seeing Christians slaughtered throughout the Middle East. It's a sad thing, and I'll get into it more in just a few minutes after we do the news, but I've watched some of the videos put up by ISIS. I watched about a 45-minute video the other night, strictly from the operations that ISIS is doing, what they're doing in the towns of Samarra and Mosul in Iraq. And it is a sad situation. It is one of the most brutal, violent, demonic religion and demonic acts of Satan that I've ever seen in my life. I'm blown away at the Christians that are being massacred. Of course, any Jews they find, but they're also massacring their own people. I was really, my heart was grieved, and it brought tears to my eyes to see some young Muslim men who obviously weren't Muslim enough for ISIS begging for their lives, saying that they agreed with them and they would work with them and they would serve ISIS, and they still took them out and filled a ditch full of these young men and shot them all in the back of the head until they were all dead. And it's a disgusting display But when you look at what Hamas is doing and been doing in Gaza, when you look at what Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra have been doing in Syria to their own people, and then you look at ISIS in Iraq, and you have the gall or the ignorance or whatever to say that the problem is Israel and that Israel is the bad guy here. I mean, Israel has nothing to do with what's going on in Syria and what's going on in Iraq. It is a Muslim slaughter of Muslims in the name of Allah. I'm going to read to you some of the translation from the video that I watched. It's their video. This is not a news report reporting on this. This is an ISIS video with being spoken in Arabic and being translated with English text or captions at the bottom to let you know what they're saying. And they're very clear about this. And we're going to look at the verses in the Quran that call for violent, aggressive, offensive jihad to kill the unbelievers, the infidels, the Jews and the Christians in particular, but also even people who aren't Muslim enough for them. I'm appalled. I'm just blown away. I'm blown away. And the scary thing is that there are many Americans, and maybe even some of you listening to me tonight, that have it in your head that that's over there. The problem is that these people are creeping into our country by various means, but particularly through this porous southern border we have with Mexico. And I'm telling you that we are being put into a precarious situation by Obama and his cronies. And listen, folks, if you don't think Obama's a Muslim, can I just say that either you're blind, dumb, and ignorant, or you're just plain stupid. He is a Muslim, and he is willfully allowing these people to infiltrate our government and to infiltrate our country. And if you don't think what's happening in Iraq can happen here, you better wake up. And our country better start praying and seeking God, because really the only deliverance and the only place of protection is going to be found in the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We'll talk more about that in a minute. We're going to be back. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with the news with Pastor Billy. Stay with us.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. To Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. To Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. For audio messages, you can search Dean Odal on iTunes or go to blogtalkradio.com/Dean Odal and go to archive episodes. Bible prophecy, world news, and the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake
on Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
These are some of the headlines for July 29, 2014. Netanyahu defends Gaza operation in national speech. In a speech to the people of Israel, broadcast in Hebrew this evening, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu confirmed that Operation Protective Edge, which the IDF began to neutralize tunnels used to funnel arms to Hamas in Gaza, will not stop. They're not going to stop until these tunnels are destroyed. He went on to say any permanent cessation of hostilities in Gaza would require total demilitarization of the area and munitions to be kept out of the hands of Hamas terrorists. Israel hits symbols of Hamas rule. Israel escalated its military campaign against Hamas on Tuesday, striking symbols of the militant group's control in Gaza, firing tank shells that Palestinian officials said shut down the Gaza Strip's only power plant in the heaviest bombardment in the war so far. In the How Ironic department, President Obama thanked Muslims for building the very fabric of our nation. He went on to say that he and Michelle Obama extends their warmest wishes to the Muslims as Ramadan Ding Dong comes to a close. Secretary of State John Kerry and the Obama administration are on the defensive at criticism at their failed ceasefire plans in Gaza. It's come to light that the cessations that Secretary of State John Kerry has made and been proposing favor Hamas heavily in the region. In other news, the U.S. accuses Russia of violating a 1987 missile treaty. The U.S. has accused Russia of violating the 1987 nuclear missile treaty by testing a ground-launched cruise missile. The U.S. is prepared for immediate high-level dialogue in Moscow over this very issue. North Korea is threatening a nuclear strike on the White House. A top-ranking North Korean military official has threatened a nuclear strike on the White House and the Pentagon after accusing Washington of raising military tensions on the Korean Peninsula. North Korea, who currently has the world's largest submarine fleet, and that's based on data from military power evaluation organization Global Firepower, could be used as a proxy to take the U.S.'s eyes off of other adversaries such as China or Russia. The Center for Disease Control said Monday that the risk of Ebola spreading to the United States was considered low, but nevertheless, they have issued a level 2 health alert advising U.S. health workers to be vigilant. Does this level stand for an open-door, borderless U.S.? Good question. The influx of illegals into the U.S. can only increase the chances of increased viruses and diseases. Those are the headlines for July 29th, 2014. You're listening to Prophecy Quake.
This has been Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter. right, we're back, and again, you're listening to the Prophecy Quake. I'm your host tonight, Pastor Dean Odle, and we're going to get into the subject. For those of you who want to look us up online while you're listening, you can go to deanodle.org, deanodle.org, or you can look us up as Dean Odle Ministries on Facebook. Check out the articles and different things that are going on. But anyway, let's get into our subject tonight, because we're going to really need to address this. This is huge, what's going on with Israel, the hatred that's being stirred up around the world. There's always an undercurrent, anyway, of anti-Semitism. The Israeli people have suffered this for centuries upon centuries upon centuries, because the God of creation, God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, laid his hand upon them, and he called Abraham out to be a special people unto him. Not that God didn't love all people, but he calls people for different reasons and different purposes, and he called out Abraham, and Abraham was willing to obey, and God blessed him and said, I'll bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. And we see, you know, you think about that promise, that blessing on those who bless the nation of Israel, the seed of Abraham. You see that blessing upon countries and upon people that have blessed them, but you also see the curse that's come upon people who have cursed them. And I mean, you think about Hitler, who tried to wipe them out, and of course, because of, you know, certain things that happened, certain promises in the book, in the law of Moses, Israel sinned and got away from God, and so, of course, they were scattered to the nations, and then, of course, Satan raised up the man Hitler to make a move to try to wipe out the Jewish people, really for several reasons, but mainly because Satan hates the people of God. He hates all of God's creation because man was made in the image of God, but he hates the Jewish people specifically because they were the first called out to be a special people, and from the seed of Abraham and came the King David, and we know from King David came Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. And so Satan hates the Jewish people, and he has a special hatred for them. And, of course, when you go back into the history, the brother Esau and Jacob and Esau, there was some strife and division between them because one had a calling on them. Jacob had a calling on him that was different than Esau. But instead of Esau being faithful to God, Esau rebelled and developed, you know, his own people, the Edomites, that were fornicators and, you know, became pagans and rebels to God. And so you just see that this has been a long time thing that's been breeding for many centuries. And, you know, just I mentioned Hitler, it came up into the 20th century. But the new Nazis, the new people who love death and want to destroy the Jewish people and the Christians, because the Christians have been, as the Bible says, the New Testament says, we have been grafted into the same tree that Israel. Some of the Israelites that were broken off that tree because of unbelief. But then it says that through Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, promised in Isaiah, promised in the books of the Old Covenant, we know that Jesus Christ fulfilled those promises. He is the Messiah. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. He is the Messiah. He's the only way to heaven. But Jesus, he's revealed it to us. He's revealed it to us that all nations, he said, you'll be hated of all nations. And the Christians, we are also considered, the great apostle Paul, who was a Jew, a Hebrew of Hebrews of the tribe of Benjamin, became a believer in the Messiah Jesus, and he became a great apostle. And he said, you know what? Those who are of faith in the Messiah are the seed of Abraham. So we are the seed of Abraham, and that is why what blows me away right now is not only is it the secular, unsaved world out there that is beginning to side with this anti-Christ, anti-Semitic, anti-Jew, anti-life, just anti-everything, Islamic movement and people like Hamas against Israel. It just blows me away. Because there's really no comparison. But what is even more crazy is that there are people who say they are Christians who are becoming anti-Israel and anti-Jew. And I'm just going to say it as plain as I can say it. I said it Sunday, but I'm going to say it again. If you call yourself a Christian and you hate the Jews You are deceived. You do not have true love in your heart. And you don't understand the scriptures. You don't understand where you came from. You don't understand how God wants us to be toward them. And frankly, I just say you're lost. And you know, the Bible says if you have hate in your heart anyway, you're a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. You cannot hate a people because they are a different race or ethnicity. And listen, you're going to hear some pretty tough things. We're pretty tough around here about Islam, because Islam is not satisfied to be just a religion, a belief system. They're not satisfied to coexist with other faiths and other religions. They don't want peace. Their ideology, their holy book, and I say that in quote, their holy book, their Quran, teaches them to kill for their faith. Now, a lot of people want to go back and they want to talk about, well, in the Old Testament, you know, the Jews were instructed by God to take out certain groups of people. And of course, you know, we haven't really dealt with this in depth on this program, but we know good people have written volumes of books on these things, like Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, L.A. Marzulli. A lot of people have done a lot of great research and a lot of great study and digging into archaeology and history and everything and into the scriptures. And we know that there was in the book of Genesis, I'll get it straight in a second, the book of Genesis chapter 6, in the days of Noah, we saw where it says that the fallen angels, the sons of God, and they referred to as the sons of God in the book of Job, that the fallen angels had sexual relations with human women and created a hybrid race. And some of them had the different physical attributes of being extremely tall or large, being giants. Others had different aspects, like having six fingers or six toes. Some of them, of course, had elongated skulls. We see that in the lines of the Egyptian kings, like even King Tut had an elongated skull. But we know that Satan was working hard to create a hybrid race to pollute mankind so that the Messiah could not come of a man that was from Adam. And so a lot of the people groups, quote, you see God instructing the Jews to wipe out in the Old Covenant were these Nephilim, or some of them were called Raphaim, but they were a hybrid race. They weren't fully human. They were part demonic fallen angel. And so their souls, and they could not be redeemed. And they were so wicked and they were so evil, God needed to allow them to exist. This half-breed, Nephilim, evil, fallen angel, half-human entities, he knew to leave them alone would be the destruction of all the human race. It would be, there would be no pure human beings anymore. And that's why when God found Noah, it says that Noah was perfect in his generations. Well, that doesn't mean Noah never had sinned, because the Bible says all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Noah was perfect or pure in his genetic makeup. He had not been polluted by these half-breeds who, you know, you'd have a half-breed, you know, Nephilim, part fallen angel, part human. Then maybe their offspring would mate with another human. And you know what? Anyway, I mean, this is not what this is about tonight, but science has proven that there was, back in the history of man, some other kind of DNA that got involved, and that there were hybrid humans. And a lot of people are trying to say now that was ancient aliens, but the Bible is very clear all along that it was the angelic beings that fell into sin and rebelled against God and began to pollute the earth genetically. And so a lot of people don't put that into context. And if you look at the tribes that God told the Israelites to wipe out, every single one of them had this Nephilim genetic DNA. And he would tell them to leave alone other nations. So you have to understand that God really raised up the nation of Israel, even in the Old Covenant, to wipe evil out of the earth. Now that brings us to an important situation today. Folks, you're going to see, if you're not seeing, you better open your eyes and you better wake up. Evil exists. Evil people evil humanity. I believe we still have Nephilim, or people who have traces of this genetic mutation of Satan in them even to this day. Now, somebody's going to think I'm crazy, but again, this has all been proved out here. There's even DNA tests that's been done and proven that there are hybrids among us, okay? But the bottom line on this is that there's certain people that you cannot negotiate with. There's certain people that may say they want peace while they're still trying to kill you. Hitler was not going to stop. He wanted to take over all of Europe and then all of the world. He wanted to create what he believed. He had an idea of creating this superior race. Actually, he was into this thought of creating the Nephilim race again of giant men and women. And we could get into that too, but it's always been about this. It's always been about this, but Hitler was not going to stop. He had to be stopped. Somebody had to rise up and stop his evil armies and his evil plan and that evil man. Folks, this is where we are with Islam. Islam has taken over. A lot of people don't even know this, that the Iranians, they didn't used to be called Iranians. It wasn't until like 1934, 1935 that they changed their name as a people from being the Persians to being Iranians. Well, the reason is that because they became into a relationship with Adolf Hitler and with Nazi Germany, and literally Iranian is Farsi, or the language of Iran, it is Farsi for Aryan. They identified themselves with Hitler and Hitler's desire to wipe out the Jewish people. Now, why would the Iranians, the Persians, Muslims, why would they do that? Why would they decide to side with the Nazis? Well, because within the Quran, they are taught that the Jews are pigs and swine and apes, and that basically that Satan, through the fault, that angel that appeared to Muhammad was not Gabriel, as he claims. That angel was the fallen angel Lucifer, or his original name Hallel, or whatever you want to call him, Satan, the adversary, the serpent that was in the garden. He is the one who appeared to Muhammad, and it's amazing that throughout the Quran there is all this anti-Jew, anti-Christian talk. Now, you got to remember, when did Gabriel appeared to Muhammad to start all this? Okay, we're talking about 610 A.D. Does anyone realize that Judaism had been here for thousands of years before, and then Christianity had been here, and the New Testament completed 500 years before Muhammad even showed up with his ideas? And then he writes the Quran, and it is filled with anti-Jew, anti-Christian scriptures, even talking of violence toward Jews and Christians. Come on now. This is exactly what Jesus warned us would come. He said that in the last days there would arise many false prophets would rise and deceive many. He said that many would come and do this. Folks, look at where we are. What Jesus warned, the Apostle John warned, that there would come people who would be anti-Christ, who would not confess the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, as deity, as God in the flesh. They would not acknowledge his crucifixion, his resurrection. The Apostle John warned of this in 1 John. We're talking about before the end of the first century. And we're talking about 500 years later, Muhammad comes along and does exactly what the Apostle John warned would happen. Listen, Muslims, you didn't come first. Your book didn't come first. Your so-called prophet didn't come first. No. The Hebrew prophets, Moses, Abraham, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Paul, Peter, John, they came long before you, and they warned of you. And they even said, Jesus even made this statement, John 16, verse 2. Jesus said, the day will come that he that kills you, speaking to his people, those who kill you will think they're doing God a service. Folks, I have never seen anything clearer than that, except for when the Roman Catholic Church was doing it for centuries. I mean, we have these entities, folks. It's just, you can close your eyes, you can stick your head in the sand and your butt in the air, but the bottom line is the Roman Catholic Church has been doing it for centuries. The Islam's been doing it for centuries. Bottom line, they're of the same spirit, the devil. And we are dealing with something here that is beyond words, what these people are doing, and in the spirit of death and destruction and mayhem and Antichrist. And it just, again, I'm sorry, I've just kind of went on this for a few minutes, but folks, there's no comparison between the nation, the little nation of Israel, and the Jewish people and the Muslims that want to wipe them off the face of the earth. And everybody gets focused in on, well, you know, if the Jews would go away, everything would be fine. No, it wouldn't be. Because if you are that blind, again, something is seriously wrong with you, because the Muslims are not going to stop. If they could take over the land of Israel right now, if they could kill every Jewish person and drive them into the sea like they want to do, like it's Hamas's charter, like is what Ahmadinejad in Iran did for years, and the Ayatollahs, and now ISIS and the Al Qaeda and all the, they all declare they want to drive Israel, all the Jews into the sea, and kill all the Jews and take all the land in the Middle East. But do you think they're satisfied with that? No, they want to take over the world. They want to take over Europe. They want to take over the United States of America. They've almost succeeded in doing that. They want to take over the entire world and make everyone, force everyone to submit to their religion. That is their goal. This is what they plainly speak. And they're willing to kill anyone and everyone to make that happen. And we're going to read the passages. We're going to read the stuff in a second from the Quran that teaches them to do this stuff. And I'm going to read some of the captions from the video that I watched yesterday that brought me to tears for those people, even for Muslim people, for the Muslim people that they're terrorizing and torturing and raping and beating and murdering. I mean, I watched them carry young men out one by one to the edge of a river and shoot them in the head and watch them fall in the river in a line, one after the other. Pow. After the other. Shooting them in the back of the head, their own people. It's the most horrible, horrible thing. One of the most horrible things that I've ever seen. I've watched the documentaries on the Holocaust, what the Germans did. I've watched what the Russians did. It's all the same. It is genocide. It is mass murder. It is bloodlust and demonic, satanic belief systems, all of the same devil. I don't care if it's Nazism or communism or now Islam. It's all the same demonic devil. Y'all want to add before we just kind of get into the scriptures on this? You're welcome to jump in.
No? It's beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's the exact same thing. Evil is evil. And the world that we're living in right now has come to a line in the sand of good versus evil. And that's why, you know, daily, we do the news here, just headlines, each week. And to be honest with you, there are so many headlines that are happening now, it's hard to even keep up. Maybe that's by plan, because they want to keep you confused and not focus on the situations at hand, but people, it is obvious that evil has been unleashed, and it's not just in the Middle East. You know, Americans are very, very famous, or infamous, I'd rather say, for if it's not in my backyard, I'm not concerned about it. But people, hear me, please. This is in our backyard and in our front yard. Evil has come across the whole world. And it's definitely time that if you're not right with Christ, you need to accept Jesus into your heart sincerely. Because he is the only, only saving grace of the whole situation. I mean, this is real, folks. This is not pipe dreams and fantasies or speculations or conspiracies. This is the reality of our world today. And it's time that people, like Pastor Dean said, get your head out of the sand and start being alert. I mean, I see people all the time in places that I work and people that I see on the street, and they're oblivious to this. How can you be oblivious to this stuff? I mean, this stuff is happening every day, every second of every day. There's rockets being fired into cities and people are being killed. There's people being beheaded, their heads impaled on tops of fences. This is real stuff, people. You need to wake up.
Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles if you're going to read along with us tonight. We're going to look at the scriptures on this, the prophecy. Of course, we talked about the Gaza prophecy, this Gaza war, and the war of Psalm 83. I really believe we're seeing the beginning of something here. But I want to read Psalm 83 first, and then we'll see where Gaza is mentioned, and I'll break down the list of people. But this is a prophetic revelation from the prophet Asaph. Actually, he was one of the worship leaders under David in that time period, was called a prophet, a seer, wrote some of the Psalms that are part of our Bible, inspired Word of God. And this is Psalm 83. We're going to read the whole thing. This is only 18 verses. And so read along with me. Psalm 83, verse 1, we'll start. A song or psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation. Now, this is important. He said, they will say, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And then he names who they are. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes and the Gebal and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines and the inhabitants of Tyre and Ashur. Also joined with them. They have hoped with the children of Lot. He says, Selah, or pause and think about this. Do unto them, he says to the Lord, do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with your tempest. And he's saying, your tempest, God. Make them afraid with your storm, God. Fill their faces with shame. Why does he say, defeat these people who want to destroy Israel? Why does he say, defeat them, Lord, that they may seek thy name, O Lord? Not Allah, this word Lord Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the one true God, not the false God Allah. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that you, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. So this is a clear prophetic word, and I believe about the last days, because we are seeing these nations. Now listen to what this. This is the ones he lists here. Let's see. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 groups of people he mentions here. The tents of Edom. Who are they today? The tents of Edom are the Palestinians and the southern Jordanians. Okay? Of course, truly the Palestinians, the word Palestinian, and you need to get a hold of this, the word Palestinian really in Arabic is pronounced in Arabic, Philistine. Okay? I have looked this up. I have researched this. So when you see the Bible mention the Philistines in an end time context, it's the Palestinians. And, of course, they inhabit the region. Gaza is the old ancient region of the Philistines, the seacoast. So he says here the tents of Edom, which would be the Palestinians and southern Jordanians, the Ishmaelites, these are the Saudis, the Ishmael is the father of the Arabs, Moab would be the Palestinians and the central Jordanians, the Hagarites or Hagarines are Egyptians, Gibal is Hezbollah and northern Lebanon. Ammon would be the Palestinians and northern Jordanians. And then Amalek is the Arabs of the Sinai area. Philistia is Hamas of the Gaza Strip. Tyre is Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. And Assyria would be the Syrians and northern Iraq area. Exactly where ISIS is. Now, so we see here these listed in the Bible, and we see this list deal with Philistia. Now, let's take it a little further. We're going to go to the book of Joel. This is Joel chapter 3. Now, Joel is clearly here from chapter 2 on is an end-time context because he begins to talk about in chapter 2 that God said in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And then he begins to talk about the day of the Lord's vengeance, the day of the Lord's anger, his wrath at the very end. We know that's the end of days, the last days, the second coming of Jesus Christ, Armageddon, when all the armies of the world are brought to against Israel and brought into the valley of Megiddo and Armageddon, and Jesus Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah of Israel returns for the second time and destroys the armies of the Antichrist and sets up his kingdom on the earth. Well, Joel chapter 3 begins to tell about Armageddon and about God bringing these nations together. But before that, right before that happens, he mentions Philistia, the coast of Philistia and Tyre and Sidon. So he mentions again the Gaza Strip. So let's read this. This is chapter 3 of Joel and verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity or the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. So when he's saying, I will also gather all nations. This language sometimes gets a little difficult to understand, but when he says, I will bring the captivity back, what he's saying is, I will bring the captives of Israel, those that have been scattered all over to the nations. When I bring them back again, 1948, and since 1948, Israel reestablishes a nation, and the outcasts of Israel are gathered from the four winds over the years. And so he says, but I will also do something in verse 2. He says, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat or Megiddo, and I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And of course, you know the entire goal of the so-called peace process is to divide the land of Israel, to give the Palestinians a state, to give them land for peace. But he says that they have cast lots for my people. They have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. We've talked about this before. And then he mentions, he says, yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, that's southern Lebanon. That's where rockets have been fired from southern Lebanon. That's where Hezbollah, terrorist organization, funded by Iran, that's where they are. Israel's fought a couple of wars with them in recent years. But here we go. He goes down, he says, what have I to do with you, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Philistia? This is talking about a problem in the end times that Israel would have with southern Lebanon, Tyre and Sidon, and with the coast of Philistia, which is the Gaza Strip. Now, folks, I just want to say, and you guys in here, does the Bible not amaze you?
Amen.
It is so accurate. It is so specific. Unlike the Quran, unlike any other religious writing, it is very specific about its prophecies. And then he goes on to say, he says what he will do with southern Lebanon and the Gaza Strip. He says, will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, I will return your recompense upon your own head. So what he's saying is, what are you going to do to me? Listen, Hamas. Listen up, Hezbollah. God is not on your side. The God of creation. Satan might be. But the God of creation is on the side of Israel. And he's on the side of the Christians. Now, it's going to look like, just like the cross looked like at first, when Jesus went to the cross, it looked like a defeat. But then God's going to intervene. Amen. And he goes on down. Let's go on down. He tells them that he's going to really deal with them, and he's going to have them bring destruction. God's going to do, well, we'll just read it. He says, because you have taken my silver and my gold, I think about John Kerry and Obama pledging $47 million right now, not to mention all the other billions they've given to the Palestinians and so they could build these terror tunnels and arm themselves to the teeth that American money and tax dollars has paid, really money that should have went to the good nation, Israel, so it could protect itself and not have to see its enemies well funded. But he says, because you've taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly and pleasant things, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem you have sold unto the Grecians that you might remove them far from the border. So he's talking about you want to remove them from the border. You're doing everything you can to sell them out and move them, to remove them from the border. And boy, that's what they were saying. They were chanting this, the Palestinians, Arabs, Muslims, what do you say, in Miami, Florida the other day. You know, what was it, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Well, the only way to do that, what they're talking about is driving all the Jews into the sea. They want to remove them from the land. And you know what? It's so funny. I don't even have time to get in this, but even the Quran, even the devil-inspired Quran says that the land belongs to the Jews. Do you know that? The Quran says it. Do you know how many times that the word Jerusalem is in the Bible? Seven, 800 times we looked up that we found out? Yeah, do you know how many times the Quran?
Zero.
This is all made up crap is what it is. To start something. And then he gets into it. Let's go on down to verse 9. He says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, so all the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all you heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Cause your mighty ones to come down. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there, the Lord says, I will sit to judge all the heathen round about. And this is, again, a reference to the last days, because he says, put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Notice he mentions two groups of people. The Lord will be the strength of his people and, come on now, and the children of Israel. There's two groups of people he's coming to fight for. His people, the born-again Christian true believers in Jesus Christ, and the Jews that managed to survive through all the hell that's coming. He says the Lord will save his people at that time. I love this because this verse here in verse 15, it says the sun and the moon go dark. This is exactly the description we get in Matthew 24 of the second coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. When in Matthew 24, I'm flipping to it, he says this in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon will not give off its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we see Joel 3 is a prophecy of the second coming of Jesus, the Messiah. Of course, they didn't use his name Jesus at that time because God wasn't ready to reveal the name that would be above every name. But it is a clear picture. And so what he's saying is that just preceding the nations of the world coming against Israel and us headed toward Armageddon and the Valley of Decision and the second coming of Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon, he said there will be a problem with Philistia, Gaza. Everybody hear me? Does that blow you away or what? It blows me away. The Bible is that specific. So folks, what we're seeing here is Psalm 83 is telling us that these nations are going to get together. Now let me explain this real quick because this is important to get a hold of. There's going to be a war, an Arab war against Israel before we get to Armageddon. There's two separate wars, major wars that are going to happen in the last days. One will start in the Middle East and turn into World War III, and God will supernaturally intervene and help Israel in the battle, and they will survive that. Later, at the end of the tribulation period, at the end of the last 7 years, the nations again are going to rise up. The Antichrist will rise up, all the nations of the world, to make another push against Israel. And that is Armageddon. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ when he fights the battle of Armageddon that you read in Revelation chapter 19. So it's important to understand that this is about to happen. Now, I say all that to say the reason I felt God wanted us to go to this place today is because we just read just a minute ago that there's going to be this confederation. Remember he said in Psalm 83, the prophecy is, they have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance, for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you. And then he goes, the tabernacles of Edom and Moab and the Ishmaelites and all these different Arab nations. He said, they're going to get together in one consent. Well, listen, this is an article that I read today. This is on PamelaGellers.com. She's a lady that does not like Islam, and I tend to love her for that. But this is what she said. Her article was here, and I don't know if she wrote this article. I think this is just a news article here. But it says moderate Malaysia, right? Malaysia, of course, is filled with Muslims. It says Muslim president of Malay rights group says Muslim countries all over the world must combine forces and attack the Jews. Now, this is what he said today publicly. And here, let me read it. It says his name is Perkasa. It says Perkasa wants all Muslim countries to attack Israel. This was in Kashmir Watch, July 26, 2014. Perkasa wants all Muslim countries to attack Israel. He said, quote, he said, Muslim countries all over the world must combine forces and attack, quote, the crazy Zionist in Israel. The president of this Malay rights group, Perkasa, said that every time there was an attack on Palestine, all Muslims worldwide did was pray, criticize, and hold demonstrations. So he's saying that for all these Muslims that are just praying and criticizing and holding demonstrations, enough with that. It's time for all the Muslim countries, all Muslims across the world, to unite and attack Israel to destroy them. He says, the numbers are huge. Assemble all the strength, and together with the OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation, he says, and attack the cruel Zionist. He added, Muslims should also send protest notes to the United States, which is the, quote, mastermind behind the Israeli Zionist. You ought to know by now that Obama's not behind Israel at all. He added that Allah was testing the leaders of Muslim countries and not just the suffering Palestinians. This is a quote from him. He said, put together all your armies and weapons from Muslim countries and just attack the crazy Zionists and pray to Allah. This is what he said. Now, folks, this is exactly what Psalm 83 says. This is also exactly what we find in the book of Revelation chapter 9 about the war that he says starts in the Euphrates River region, which means Syria, Iraq, Turkey, Iran. He said, listen, he named an army there the size 200 million. Now, easily between all those countries and between, you know, 1.8 billion Muslims in the world, they could put together an army of 200 million.
Yeah, definitely.
And see, this is what we're talking about here. Why is this so important? Because this is going to happen. And it says through this war, one-third of mankind will be killed. Now, this is what the scripture says, one-third of mankind, and I've said this many times before. I hope it's talking about one-third of mankind where the war is primarily taking place. But I don't think so. Because if that was the only problem going on at the same time, then you could say, well, maybe it'll just be over there. But the problem is that we've got the jihadist here. The problem is we've got this tension now, and I'm talking about serious tension, between the United States and Russia again. We've got now the United States and the European Union really cracking down sanctions on Putin. He is not going to take it. Now we got Korea threatening a nuclear strike on the United States, which I said earlier this week in a Facebook post that I believe that, you know, well, everyone knows North Korea is just a proxy country for China anyway. If China wanted to just move in and stop their little Pyongyang, Funky Bong, or whatever his name is, they could just deal with him at any moment. But I think they're going to use him. They're going to use him as a front man, as the patsy to attack the United States or begin this ball rolling. They're going to blame it on him. And any hesitancy or any delay in us responding to the correct perpetrators when we do get attacked is going to give Russia the tactical, or what we should say, strategic advantage that they're going to need to do this. But I just don't see, again, we've talked about this in the weeks, last week and the week before and several times. We know the Holy Spirit has revealed it, that there will be a surprise attack from Russia upon the United States. I believe that terrorist Islamic cells within our country will be activated at the same time. They're going to try all means possible to descend our country into chaos and destruction. But there is a power greater than all their power, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of prayer, the power of people doing the right thing when things get bad, not responding in the flesh, doing the right thing. Now, some of that may be defending your family, defending your household. I'm not saying we're not pacifists here. I got a little something for the jihadists. I love you, and I want you to know Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to go out and fight you, but don't come to my house with your jihad, or, you know, something's going to happen, and you ain't going to like it, all right? Because, you know, I think a man should defend his family. But apart from that, our power and our beliefs and our only way to make a difference through this time period is going to be walking in the full faith, in the full authority, in the full power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I want to tell you, Muslims are getting saved right now at probably at a higher percentage than any other time in history. We're seeing Muslims come to know Jesus in powerful conversions like Saul of Tarsus, road to Damascus type conversion experiences. I shared one of them Sunday morning in our church service. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying for these people, because believe it or not, you know, even though you have to have a righteous indignation towards such brutality and violence and senseless murder and horrible, you know, atrocities toward women and children. And, you know, I think about the world crying out about, you know, Israel hitting a target by accident versus a whole nation of women and children being massacred by a religion that they say they have.
Exactly.
Really, I'm telling you, the world is crazy. The people, most people in this world are blind by the same satanic forces that Islam, they're just blinded. But I don't know, you guys want to jump in. I'm fired up about this.
And you should be. Everyone should be.
I mean, everyone should be fired up, like I said before. I mean, this is reality, folks. I mean, people need to really open their eyes to this. This is really happening around the world. And it may sound like I'm beating a drum, the skin right off the drum, but these things are coming to America. So you need to get your head out of the glass toilet, which is what I call the television set. Put down your electronic gadgets and dig into the Word of God. You need to draw close to Jesus right now, folks. He is the answer. He is the only answer. You're not going to find it anywhere else. So it's time to really stop the game plan. There's only two sides to the whole scenario. And it's good and evil. As Pastor Dean was talking about this past Sunday, you know, you're either with Israel or you're with Islam. Well, that's basically saying you're either with good or you're with evil. So you've heard me say this many times. Choices has consequences. So make sure your choices are good ones.
Amen. Amen. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We've got a caller. We'll take you right after the break. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle, and we'll be back in just a moment.
What can be burned?
right, we're back, and you're listening to Prophecy Quake, and we have a caller with a question. We have Andy on the line. Let's see if we can hear. Andy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, brother.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. What's your question this evening?
Yeah, I just have a quick question. In Romans 11, it talks about how all Israel will be saved. But I'm just trying to understand, like, during the Great Tribulation, like, how are they going to how's this going to play in the role with the Mark of the Beast? When they administrate it, how are they all going to get saved? Like, are they just not going to take it, or, you know what I mean?
Well, we know, of course, the Bible's very clear. It says in Revelation 14, if any man takes the mark of the beast, it says that man will be tormented with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of his torment will grow up day and night forever. There is no forgiveness. So whether you're Jew or Gentile, if you take the mark of the beast, you worship the mark of the beast in his image, and you take that mark in your right hand or your forehead so that you can buy or sell. If you do that, you are eternally damned. There is no hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but we don't know, of course. I mean, we have to kind of speculate somewhat. Hang on one second. I'm sorry about that. But we kind of have to guess on some things. But this is the way it looks to me. I think there's enough people out in the world, both, you know, Jew and mm-hmm. Gentile, that have heard about the Mark of the Beast. It's a very popular teaching that's been taught for, you know, especially the last several decades in the church. A lot of churches go, you know, and ministers go to Israel. I went to Israel myself in the 1980s and preached all over the place and passed out tracts, and people are doing that all the time. So the Jews, even though a lot of them right now are still resisting the gospel, they've heard a lot of the gospel. Also, I think they're not going to go along. We believe that the Antichrist is going to be an Islamic leader who's going to be able to play both sides of the fence and be looked at as a man of peace, but he's still going to be a Muslim, because the Bible talks about him being of Assyrian descent, calls him an Assyrian. So I think that Israel's going to be, especially the Jewish people, after what they're about to go through in dealing with all this war, I think a lot of them are going to be very reluctant to go along with the system, just like Christians will be. That's just my thoughts on it. But we do know that those who survive, those who do resist the mark, and maybe many of them, as they see the prophecies coming to pass that Christians have been trying to tell them about for so long, they'll see them coming to pass, and that many, many Jews will begin to accept Jesus as their Messiah and stand with us.
Okay.
So that's kind of the way I see it happening as we approach the second coming. Because, I mean, think about how obvious things are now prophetically. And we're really not into the full depth of it all yet. Think about when everything is going down that's in the book of Revelation and the prophets. And there's just going to be, I think a lot of people are going to be waking up. And the Bible says it too. I believe God himself is going to begin to remove the blindness from Jewish eyes and from a lot of people's eyes, but from the Jews especially. He's going to do a sovereign, powerful work. Again, he said he would have a remnant. It's not going to be the majority. It's not going to be all. It's just going to be all of the remnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that answer your question a little bit?
Yeah, that's good. But how do the rabbis, how do they like interpret the Old Testament in a sense like of the end times? Like, do they believe in like I believe that they don't even have the word Antichrist, but do they believe in like, what is their like observation of it using just the Old Testament? Like, do they just have these prophecies from Isaiah?
Well, it varies from rabbi to rabbi. I mean, it's almost like American Christianity, you know, and mm-hmm. denominations. I mean, we have varied beliefs, varied groups. You know, some of them believe there's actually two messiahs coming. I know it gets crazy because you know, once you reject the true Messiah that was prophesied, you got to come up with all kinds of stuff. You got to do all kind of mental, you know, and theological gymnastics to avoid seeing what's right in front of your face. Now, you know, a promising thing that has happened in the last few years is, I can't even remember the guy's name. I'd have to look it up again myself. But a very, very prominent rabbi, before he died, Jesus revealed himself to him as the Messiah. And he wrote it down in secret and said, don't open this until a year after I've passed away. And that's the way the Lord kind of showed him what to do. But I'm hearing of it, you know, through WorldNet Daily and some other sources. I'm hearing that a lot caused a huge stir that you had, like, one of the top rabbis in Israel before he died say that the Messiah appeared to him and revealed him to him as Yeshua, Jesus,
yeah,
of Nazareth, and that is shaking up right now the Orthodox and Hasidic Jewish community. It's just really shaking them up. So it's such a big deal over there that even a lot of the press, just like they do here in America, the liberal press in Israel's tried to quash that that revelation and that truth because it's caused such a shaking and a stir. But I believe we're going to see more of that, supernatural conversions of Jewish rabbis and Jewish leaders. I'd love to see Benjamin Netanyahu become a born-again follower of the Lord, the Messiah, Jesus. So it's not impossible. I mean, it is very possible that the Prime Minister of Israel could become a Christian. I'm talking about a true born-again Jewish Christian, Messianic Christian.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's pray for it.
Yeah, that's all I got. Thanks for the...
Hey, brother, thank you for calling. Good questions, man. God bless.
All right, Ethan. Have a good show. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Andy, and we appreciate that call. If anybody else, for that matter, right now, if you want to call, you are welcome to call. The number is 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. Again, your calls are welcome. We love to have your questions and your comments even if you disagree. If you want to debate a little bit, I'd be glad to jump in there with you and debate things. As you know, people can tell you I'm not shy when it comes to those things. But getting back to our subject here and getting back to what we're discussing tonight, looking at this prophecy, we need to take a little bit a deeper look here at Islam and some of the things that, you know, that the Quran actually says. A lot of people don't know that the Quran actually says some of these things about killing the unbelievers and so on and so forth. It blows my mind. And, of course, we can just look down. I'm going to back up here. I've got some things pulled up about this subject. Like the Quran, this is the Quran. Of course, they call it surahs, which is basically their word for a chapter. But the Quran, Surah 2, this is verses 191 and 193, says, and kill them wherever you find them, and turn them out from where they have turned you out. And al-fitna, which is disbelief, it says, is worse than killing. But if they desist, then lo, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Basically, if they give in to Allah, if they give in to believing, it says, oh Allah, it says, and fight them until there is no more disbelief and worshiping of others along with Allah, and worship is for Allah alone. But if they cease, let there be no transgression except against al-Zalima, whatever, the polytheist and the wrongdoer. So here he says, kill them. This is Quran 2, verse 191 through 193. Kill them wherever you find them. I think that's pretty spoken there. It doesn't give any, context. It just says do it. And, of course, this is a translation from the Noble Quran. The historic context of this passage is not defensive warfare, since Muhammad and his Muslims had just relocated to Medina and were not under attack by their Meccan adversaries. In fact, verses urge offensive warfare in the Muslims or to drive Meccans out of their own city, which later they did, of course. So this is not a defensive verse here. This is a time when they were not under attack, but they were told to fight and drive out all people, kill people who did not believe like they believed. And so this is, again, that's in the Quran. Quran 2, again, Surah 2, 244, it says, then fight in the cause of Allah, and know that Allah heareth and knoweth all things. saying, Surah 2:16, fighting is prescribed for you, and you dislike it. But it is possible that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you love a thing which is bad for you. But Allah knoweth, and you know not. Not only, see, this right here says, not only does this verse establish that violence can be virtuous, but it also contradicts the myth that fighting is intended only in self-defense, since the audience was obviously not under attack at the time. From the Hadith, we know that this verse was narrated at a time that Muhammad was actually trying to motivate his people into raiding merchant caravans for loot. So again, the context, the Hadith will give the context of the Quran sometimes and what Muhammad was doing and what he was talking about. So you're not left to figure it out by yourself. You're not left to guess what he's talking about. In Quran, Surah 3, verse 56, as to those who reject faith, meaning who reject Islam, I will punish them with terrible agony in this world and in the hereafter, nor will they have anyone to help. That's so nice and loving, isn't it? The religion of peace has spoken, hasn't it?
Sounds like aggression and hate.
here we go. Here's a few more just for fun. It's in Quran, Surah 3, verse 151. Soon shall we cast terror into the hearts of the unbelievers, for that they join companions with Allah, for which he had sent no authority. This speaks directly of polytheists, yet it also includes Christians, since they believe, we Christians believe in the Trinity, and of course Muhammad didn't understand that we weren't joining companions to God, that God is one God who manifests himself in three ways, but of course, because Christians are not polytheists, we don't believe in multiple gods. We believe there is one God who manifests himself in three different forms, just like water is H2O, but can be manifested in three forms, whether it be ice, or whether it be water, liquid water, or whether it be steam, a gas. It's still H2O. It's just a manifestation, and that's what we believe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three separate manifestations that reveal God, who God is to us. So again, Muslims incorrectly accuse Christians of being polytheist. But here again, they leave no room for anyone to have their own belief system. There's no peace for you under Islam or with true Muslims who are following the Quran. There's no peace for you if you have another religion. If you're a Buddhist or a Hindu, you are in big trouble. And of course, that's what you see between the Muslims and the Hindus in India. You see a lot of fighting and bloodshed and murdering going on even there. Let's see. We have there's so many I could read. I don't want to just read all the Quran here, but goodness, there's just many of them saying strive, fight for Allah. Let me drop down here. Let's find the one where they are talking about cutting people's heads off. Yeah, here it is. Quran, Surah 8. In verse 12, he says, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. Now, it says no reasonable person would interpret this to mean a spiritual struggle, because, of course, one of the things you get from groups like CARE and all these organizations that are here in the West trying to water down Islam, they say, oh, jihad just means struggle. It just means our personal struggle to live our faith, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm reading here, it says, we will cast terror into their hearts of those who disbelieve by striking off their heads and striking off their fingertips. And this, you know, here again, we see the Muslims, ISIS, this video I watched. If you have any doubts about them, you can find videos. And if I'm just going to say this, if you don't have a strong stomach and a strong heart, don't watch this, because I consider myself a pretty strong man and a pretty strong constitution. I've seen a lot of crazy things in my life, and I'm dedicated to the Lord. But some of them makes my heart hurt and cringe. And today I saw a video of a Saudi family beating their maid, strung her upside down, and were beating her. And I just had to cut it off. And I started crying, because I broke down, wept in tears for this, for that young lady, because of the cruelty. And it is ridiculous what these people do and what they condone and what they teach. But I took some screenshots of the video that this is an ISIS video they put up. And throughout the whole video, their little segues, their little talk about what they're doing is the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad. And, of course, we know the Prophet Muhammad massacred entire villages of Jews and Christians. And, of course, he would kill anybody that got in his way to establish his religion as dominant over everyone. And so I have a screenshot of this video with the caption below, one of their men strapped with his gun and plenty of AK-47 magazines. And he says, "The basis of this religion is a book that guides and a sword that supports. The basis of this religion," he says, "will be the Khalifa or the Caliphate upon the prophetic methodology." And what he's talking about is the method of the Prophet Muhammad. How he did it, we're doing it. And that's what they're saying. The way he started Islam and the way he established Islam in Mecca and Medina, and as he took over, began to take over the Middle East, he did it by the sword, by terror, by robbing and stealing and raping and beheading and striking fear into the hearts of people and massacring whole villages. So folks, understand tonight that when you hear these stupid commentators come on Fox News or CNN or whatever, and they start telling you, no, Islam is a religion of peace, these are just a very small fanatical fringe of Islam. No. We know that there's at least 300 million of these, if not more. But this is the teaching of the Quran. It is the teaching of the Hadith, the writings of Islam. They are telling you that they're following this. And this is what they say. There will be a caliphate or a world government of Islam over the world through the method of the Prophet Muhammad, the way he did it. They say very clearly, it says, not upon the methodology of democracy, not upon the methodology of secularism. There is no religion, they say, under it except Allah. So there is no room for Christianity, for Judaism, for Hinduism, Buddhism, no freedom of religion or worship under Islam at the threat of death. He says the hypocrites are humiliated and degraded here. The Mu'ahadin are honored, and it's these people, that's what they call themselves, are honored, manifest, and powerful. Now, this is what one of their imams say, one of these guys that are teaching and preaching, and this is a picture of him preaching here. He says this, speaking of his own people, the Muslims, he said, the people are ignorant of their own religion. He says, and they thirst for those who can teach them and help them understand it. May Allah curse be upon the Jews and the Christians. That is a direct quote. They are taken to their deaths in large groups by Allah's grace. And this is on the screenshot of them leading Jews and Christians and Muslims who aren't Muslim enough, leading them out. And I'm talking about dozens of them into a ditch where they make them lie face down on the ground in this ditch, and 3, 4, 5, whatever, guys with AK-47 stand behind them and shoot them in the head and in the back over and over and over again until they make sure every one of them is dead. This is ISIS. And they're saying this is true Islam. But people don't understand their religion. Their religion under Muhammad, their religion to follow the example of Muhammad, is to massacre Jews and Christians and anyone who does not submit to their religion and to their laws, Sharia, whatever else it is. Listen, folks, and they have a goal to take over the entire world. That is their plan, by force. And you think about all the money they get in these nations. Why do they want to take over Iraq? If they can take over and control Iraq, they will control Iraqi oil. Iraqi oil means billions and billions and billions of dollars to buy weapons upon weapons upon weapons upon weapons so that they can fight until they destroy all of us. That is their goal. You better wake up. Amen. Islam is coming for you. You better know where you stand. I'm just looking at the pictures, blood everywhere. I'm telling you, if you don't have a strong stomach, do not watch these videos. And they talk about there's a, the final scene is one of their fighters standing with the big black flag with the Arabic writing on it, and they said the spark has been lit here in Iraq. And, of course, what they believe in Islamic, in the Islamic religion, is they believe that their Messiah figure, the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, some of them call him the Imam Mahdi, their Messiah figure will come when the flags, the black flags of jihad fly in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so, folks, you see, that's why the Taliban moved in to take over Afghanistan. And now, of course, we fought a war. We've been there for over 10 years, and we're leaving, and the Taliban are still going to be in charge in Iran. And that's why you need to get a hold. You need to get an understanding of what is coming. Because, see, Israel, Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Knesset, the generals, General Gantz, their chief of staff, they get it. They get what America doesn't get. They know these people are fanatics about their religion and that they're not going to stop killing. You see, they're not going to stop killing, and they're not going to stop trying to destroy the nation of Israel. And Israel has a decision to make. And no one likes to be put in this situation. But they knew they would be, because they had already gone through the Holocaust under Hitler. And they knew that the Muslims hated them and that Islam taught to destroy them. So when Israel became a nation by the miracle hand of God in 1948, when they became and fulfilled Bible prophecy, and like I said Sunday, just their existence in the land as a nation is a direct fulfillment of Bible prophecy, Isaiah chapter 11, many other passages, Ezekiel 36 through 39. I mean, we could just go down the list of God saying in the last days, I would bring them back and a nation would be born in a day. They would have a flag. They would be a people. I would gather the outcast, and this would be a sign to the nations that the end of time is upon you. So Israel's very existence in the land, the Jewish people being in the land, is a sign, is it a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, Old Testament prophecy, and New Testament prophecy, and that they would be in control. Jesus even made it clear that they would be in control of Jerusalem before the end would come, and that they would be surrounded by armies. So this is a key of Israel being in the land. That's why the demon-filled, Satan-filled Islamist and the UN and all the rest of the Luciferian world out there that's deceived and has the devil in their heart, that's why they want to destroy Israel. That's why they don't care about Israel. That's why they turn their back on Israel. That's why Obama's doing it. That's why John Kerry of skull and bones and everything else and Bush did it, driving, you know, getting them to take the people out of Gaza. Gaza was a beautiful place before Hamas came in. When Israel ruled it, and Jews and Muslims lived there together, and then Hamas came in, and now it is being destroyed because of Hamas. And you cannot blame Israel. I believe Israel should do whatever is necessary to defeat these evil people. But here's what's going to go down, okay? You just might as well get ready for it. More and more of the world community, the United Nations, are going to come under pressure. The United Nations are going to be part of the pressure upon Israel to try to get Israel to stop. We're going to see this Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38. We're going to see this uniting of Arab nations over this Palestinian-Gaza issue. We're going to see a war take place, and Israel will be pushed into a corner to the point that their little 20 million people, or however the big the population is, it's either that or less, is going to have to use their nuclear weapon. And that's what I was getting to a minute ago. Israel knew from the very beginning that they would be facing one day a group of people that would want to wipe them off the face of the earth, annihilate them, genocide them again. You know, Hitler almost succeeded, but they knew they were going to face people that wanted to do that to them again. So their founder, their founding father, David Ben-Gurion, was obsessed with them getting nuclear technology, nuclear reactors, nuclear power, so that they could have the nuclear bomb to defend themselves. I believe this firmly that Israel does not want to use a nuclear weapon on anyone. They would prefer to live in peace. They're a prospering country. They're blessed. They're a blessed country. They want peace. But there can be no peace when Muslims want your death and destruction. And that's what I'm hoping that those of you listening tonight will get a hold of. And those who will listen, many will listen to this program, recorded, archived program. But you need to understand that tonight, that is the issue, that they're going to have to, if either Israel will sit back and do nothing and let the Muslims just annihilate them, destroy them, kill every one of them, or they're going to end up fighting back with everything they have, and that means using nuclear weapons. And if Israel feels overrun, if all these countries unite at any point when they do, and they move to invade Israel, it's going to get ugly, because Israel has promised that they will use all means necessary and that they will not be taken over. They will not walk quietly into the prison camps and to their deaths ever again. They're not going to walk away. And nor should they. Nor should they. And we as Christians and we as Americans ought to be standing with them and praying for them and doing everything in our power to help them, because we're next. We are in the same, on the same list the Muslims have. It's the Jews, the Christians, America, United States of America. We are on the list. So we should be praying. You know, I'll tell you the truth. If Israel would wipe out these evil armies of ISIS and al-Nusra and al-Qaeda and Hamas, they would be doing the world a great favor, doing the dirty work that the United States should be doing instead of arming them, instead of giving them billions of dollars of aid so that they can buy weapons and then fight us. It's ridiculous. Our government, both the Bush administration, the Clintons, and Obama is the worst, of course, but just helping these Muslims accomplish their goals. And, of course, again, I think Obama and Kerry, I believe this with all my heart, they hate Israel because they know Israel has the means. They have the army. They have the technical savvy. They have the nuclear weapons, the nuclear missiles. They have the ability to deliver a warhead wherever they need to deliver it. They have Dolphin-class submarines. They got what they need to do. They could trouble anybody in this world if they wanted to. And I got news for you. There's some Muslims, if they keep pushing this envelope, are going to find out what a nuclear war looks like, up close and personal. But then what will happen? Israel will come out of this victorious. The Bible tells us this, that the war, they will come out of it victorious. And then the world opinion will be against them. They will be pressured by the UN to make a peace treaty with the Arab people. This is when the Antichrist will step forth and act like a man of peace and make a peace treaty with them. I think Israel will be pushed and pushed to disarm. We know that the UN and the coming world government wants to disarm all nations of nuclear weapons and even all arms. They want to disarm everyone, and the only people to have weapons will be the UN. I don't know that Israel will ever give up their weapons fully, but that's going to lead to the final battle of Armageddon, and that's when it's going to be so bad that the only way that Israel will be saved and anyone will be left alive in the world, well, Jesus will return. And that is the promise of Scripture. Now, I've told my wife, we've had to talk about this quite a few times in recent days, that, man, if I didn't know that the Bible was true, like I know that it's true and that Jesus is coming, if I didn't know that with all my heart, I would be one depressed, miserable person. Just looking at how evil and demonic that this world has become, and it's not getting better at all, not even a little bit, not even close to getting a little bit better. We've got a lot, goodness, we got a lot we can talk about here. We're going to take a quick break. Listen, you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle here with Pastor Billy Painter and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson. We're going to continue our conversation. If you want to call in with a question or a comment, would love to hear from you. The number is 347-884-8566. That's 347-884-8566. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Long before they called it hyper grace, the Lord had me call it grace abuse. Back in 1997, I wrote my first book entitled Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. This book is about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. I believe this doctrine and the abuse of this subject of grace is one of the biggest issues in the church today. Get your copy of Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival today at deanodal.org. Grace is not a license to sin.
But first get a Bible and start reading now. The moment will come when they will not allow distribution, possession of anything Christian. You'll go underground, a secret resistance, and face persecution, imprisoned and beaten. Now is the time to make your decision to battle his minions left on this earth, or fall for a false explanation. Prefer to be herded like sheep. The ancient delusion, the oldest of schemes, has come to conclusion. The mark of the beast from the father of lies, the angel of light, master of disguise. He's devising a plan, preparing us now, and through evolution convincing the crowd that aliens somehow are out there and bound to have all of the answers and power to know the solution. Like indigo children, smarter than humans, more intuition, much more evolved. They're sending a vision, prepare the whole world with a false explanation. If we're to evolve, we must remove Christians. They call it the cleansing, and this is their mission.
Evolve or die refers to whether humanity survives as a species. There is an enormous awakening happening on the planet.
The age of Aquarius ending duality, Oprah the secret and Eckhart Tolle preach what will bring in a new age reality based in traditions of pagan theosophy, bound to be thousands of offshoots of Crowley, students of Alice C. Bailey who follow the lies of Helena Blavatsky, radically altering, changing the pages of history, laying the groundwork forged by the tools of Lucifer, paving the way for the United Nations, a slow preparation patiently waiting since the creation, a garden of Eden, a planet whose placement in time is persuaded by aliens, outside invasions, abductions and cow mutilations, creating an atmosphere ripe for the picking, with movies and Hollywood implanting trickery, mastery over the masses. The whole world collapses in panic, all desperate for someone to save them, obey anyone that will answer their questions. The savior of sorts, a new age messiah, the wolf in sheep's clothing is what will transpire. The mayhem is out of control at this moment, a world full of chaos, confusion and torment. I'm telling you, don't stop at anything. You can't afford to face life without Christ as your king. The moment might come when the storms of reality, trapped in a world where it's actually happening.
That's one of my favorite quotes, that a significant portion of the Earth's population will soon recognize, if they haven't already done so, that humanity is now faced with a stark choice: evolve or die.
This is the Islamic call to prayer. Pits of hell. This is it. Share some things with you about Islam real quick that you may not know. You know, the Bible is very clear that there is a mystery concerning the mark of the beast. As a matter of fact, why don't we turn there? Turn to Revelation. I just felt the Lord wanted me to cover this right here. This is in Revelation chapter 13 when it's speaking about the mark of the beast. And some of you, I am sure, haven't heard this. I knew it kind of blew my mind when I heard it and began researching it to make sure it was so. But it is an amazing, amazing revelation, if I can get to chapter 13 myself here. Revelation chapter 13, we're going to go down to where it talks about the number 666. Go down, I guess, to verse number 16. This is talking about the beast. It said, and he causes all, the Antichrist, the one against Christ, the one persecuting Christians and Jews, it says, that he will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now this is what a lot of people don't get. I believe that the mark of the beast is more than just an RFID chip in your hand, because it specifically does talk about something being implanted, something that's engraved or etched being implanted in your hand or your forehead. Now, we know that a silicon microchip goes through a process called photo etching, and that's what makes the circuit path and so on. So we know that this is part of it. And when it talks about buying and selling, being able to use commerce, we know that's in the plans. That's part of the Antichrist world government agenda. But we're going to look at it again here, though. Look at the verse at verse 17. He says that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, comma, or the name of the beast, comma, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Him that hath understanding, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600. 666 or 666, 666. Now, this is what was amazing to me when I started looking into this. When the Bible was written, of course, back in the first century, we're talking about the New Testament, was written back in the first century. We know the Apostle John wrote some of the books, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Matthew. We know that the Apostle Paul wrote almost half the New Testament. But we know that the book of Revelation was penned in about AD 95, AD 96 by the Apostle John, the beloved Apostle, on the island of Patmos when he was in exile under Roman authority, a Roman exile. And as he penned the New Testament, we know that the New Testament was penned in Greek. It was actually written in the Greek language, and the manuscript evidence and the pieces of manuscript that we have to this day that come from the first century, we can clearly see were written in Greek. Now, both the Hebrew language, of course, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek. Both the Hebrew and the Greek languages and also Arabic have a thing called gematria. Now, gematria is where every letter is also assigned, every letter in the alphabet is also assigned a numerical value. And this just blew my mind. When John actually penned this verse about the clue of 666, he didn't write a number 666. He did say, here is the number, and then he wrote three letters. And basically in Greek, they were chi, xi, and stigma. Three letters he wrote. They have the numerical value of 600, the first letter, the second 60, and then the third letter 6. So the numerical value of those three Greek letters made it up to 666. But what's interesting is when you look at the Greek letters, and if you look at the Greek letters, the chi for the first letter looks like an X. Okay? The second letter, the xi, looks like almost like an upside down or a three squiggly looking thing. You'd have to see it to understand it, with a line beside it. And then there's the symbol stigma that's almost kind of like an S. But those three symbols are very interesting. Now, the sigma, the final, the last letter, stigma was the mark that was put upon Roman slaves. They would literally mark you, tattoo you, or mark you, cut you, causing a mark with a scar or something. But you would be marked or branded if you were a Roman slave. So, and that's where you get the term stigma from. Someone has a stigma upon them. Well, it's interesting if you look at the symbol, and this is what blew my mind. I have looked in the Arabic, and you got to remember Hebrew and Greek were there, of course, and then Arabic you see coming into the picture even a little bit later, becoming prominent in the Middle East. But it was primarily Hebrew and then Greek in the Middle East, and of course Aramaic and a few other things. But bottom line is, this is too eerie to make up, because this middle letter in Greek, the Xi, looks just exactly like the symbol in Arabic for Allah. It's creepy, and I've done this. I've shared this in PowerPoints, and we have it in videos where you can see it. If you want to see it, you could say, look at the Antichrist Revealed video that we have on YouTube, and you can see the visuals of this. But if you look at the symbols and what they represent in the Islamic world, in Arabic, the X symbol is a symbol for jihad. The middle symbol is a symbol for Allah. And the last symbol is a symbol for putting a mark on someone. So either way you read it, if you read it from right to left, like they read Arabic, it would be put a mark on people in the name of Allah through jihad. That would be the translation. But what's interesting, even if you don't accept those other letters, the one in the middle that shows is the literal symbol for Allah is the hint that the Antichrist will have an Islamic connection. Now, here's where it got creepier. As I was looking into this, I went to some Islamic websites and found out that they very much believe in gematria themselves, their Arabic letters having numerical values. They believe, I found this out from Muslims, I got quotes from Muslims, from Muslim websites, that to them, to Muslims, the way that you know the true Quran is by its opening phrase called the Bismillah. The opening phrase of the Quran equals to 666. And because of that, Muslims say that the number 666 is a holy number, and is the holy number of the Holy Quran, and that Christians are the ones that make up a lie that say 666 is evil and of Satan. Well, guess what? We said it was evil and of Satan long before you came along and created a book that said that the numerical value of your opening phrase of your holy book has to equal the gematria, the Arabic gematria, 666, and that 666 is a holy number to you. So, folks, hear what I'm telling you. The Antichrist, the coming world leader who will take over control of the world government, will be Islamic. He will be a man of Allah and Muhammad. He will pretend to be a moderate man of peace. As the Bible says, he will make a peace treaty. He will make everyone think he's wonderful, that he's bringing peace between the Arabs and the Jews. The world will look at him as the Savior, because he'll be looked at as the one that's able to keep us from having any more war, nuclear war. But this man, it says, will betray the Jews and the Christians as he gains full power. He will begin to force them to worship him, to take his mark, to submit to his way of doing things. Now get this, everybody, listen to me. If that's not enough, Revelation 20 says the primary mode of execution of the Antichrist beast and the world government beast will be beheading. Now, folks, who would have thought that here in the early stages of the sophisticated and technologically advanced 21st century, that what we would be seeing in the Middle East is a revival of beheadings? But again, exactly what the Bible said would be happening in the last days through a people who would have the spirit of Antichrist, and the spirit of Antichrist are people who deny Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And the Quran denies that Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah. They deny that 9 different times in the Quran. They deny that Jesus died on the cross. They said it was a lie. He didn't really die on the cross. They put someone else there in his place. So they deny everything Christianity says, and that Judaism said, the Hebrew prophet said, that Jesus would die, that he would be killed. His hands and feet would be pierced, that he would become a sacrifice for our sins. He would pay for our transgressions, and by his stripes we would be healed, and by his wounds that Jesus would pay for our sins, the Messiah. Even Daniel said the Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself, in Daniel chapter 9. So the Quran, the 666 Quran, the coming man of sin, the Islamic Antichrist, that's going to rise up over the world government and the UN, and that's why the UN is so pro-Islam and so against Israel. Folks, the spirit of Antichrist is taking over, and it's manifesting in the UN. It's manifesting within Islam. It's manifesting within Barack Obama in the United States, high up leaders and hierarchy. The spirit of Antichrist is taking over the world, and there is a man coming, and the clue the Bible always gave us about 666, that it's not just the mark in your hand. It will be enough to just pledge allegiance to the man or to the religion or to the system. That's why, guess what, a lot of people think, well, if I don't get the chip, I'll be okay, but what if you bow your knee? Do not bow to a man. Do not bow to a world government. Do not bow to another religion. Do not bow to an economic system if it's got to be a chip in your hand. Do not pledge allegiance or bow your head or worship or bow your knee to anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh. Because if you do, you're lost forever. You're damned forever. And that's why all of this is so serious. The Bible is true. It's been proven to be true. I mean, I don't know what more we can say. We got 5 minutes, 6 minutes. If anybody wants to call in, ask a question, make a comment, you better do it quick. We're running out of time this evening. The number is 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. If you have a question, let me know. Right now, we'll take it. If we can't, even if we have to take it off the air, we'll take it. But guys, y'all got any parting words this evening before we get out of here? Because we're almost out of time.
The only thing I can say is that people need to just understand that the key to God's provision is obedience to Him. And right now, our country is not really in obedience. So therefore, God's provision is going to fade. You know, we are grafted in with Israel. And if you can imagine a tree and the United States is fruit that's on that tree, that fruit's rotting and it's fallen off. And when rotten fruit falls to the ground, it perishes. So we as a country need to readjust our thinking about Israel and realize, like Pastor Dana said, if you are a true Christian, then you have to be for Israel. There's no in-between.
And that's what I want to add here. I just want the Jewish people to know, Israel to know, that even if you don't believe in Jesus as your Messiah, we love you. We Christians, true Christians, love you. We pray for you. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for God's blessing and hand to be upon you. We pray that you are victorious over your enemies and these evil people. We pray you will not be swayed by the United States of America and our corrupt politicians and leaders like Barack Obama or John Kerry. We pray you will stand strong and you will do part of your calling was to rid the world of evil. And that's what God raised you up and called you and anointed you to do. So I say to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, I say, Godspeed. God bless you, sir. God be with you, give you wisdom, give you his power, give you his anointing. I pray over Israel. I pray over their soldiers. I pray over their people. I pray over their lands. I pray there would be a mighty revival in Israel, that their eyes would be open to know their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, that they would know Jesus, the Messiah, as their Savior and Lord, that they would see the scriptures in Isaiah and Jeremiah about the new covenant and about Jesus suffering, about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem from the prophet Micah, and him being born of a virgin in Isaiah, and all the prophets, the old prophets, that their eyes would be open, and they would come to know Jesus, because he's coming back. He's coming back to save them. He's coming back to save us. Many will be martyred. Many will die. There will be many wars. Yes, there will be many terrible things that happen before Jesus returns and before the rapture. The rapture is happening when Jesus returns, and that's at the end, folks. We're going to talk about that some more, too, in the days ahead. But listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Messiah, I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care if you're Buddhist or Hindu. I don't care if you're a Christian. You've just been going to church once in a while in your life, but you don't really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today would be a good day to say, you know what? The Bible is amazing. I see the Bible prophecies. I see what you're talking about. I see it in the news. The Bible is unique. It's far above the Quran. It teaches love and loving your neighbor, not killing your neighbor. And Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead for my sins. And today, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I'm going to follow you from this point on. If you'll do that with all your heart, turn from your sins, believe him. He will forgive your sins. He will save you. He will begin a work inside you. He will make himself known to you in a very powerful, powerful way. So if you haven't ever done that, I don't care if you're Jew, Muslim, or Gentile, today's the day to do that. And if you do, let us know. If you pray that prayer, if you get saved, if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We're out of time. We bless you. We appreciate you being with us and listening tonight. God bless.
Listening to Prophecy Quake. To further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook us at Dean Odal Ministries.